Thanks for joining us today to hear our latest Hope Central podcast. We trust this message will help you know more about Jesus and inspire you to be more like him.
All right, thank you. How are you all going? You doing all right? What a fantastic start of the morning. I mean, the worship today was fantastic, and we should give these guys a round of applause because it's always nice to have a range that I can actually sing in, so thanks for that, Luke. It's fantastic. But the words that were spoken about the trust in God and loving God through all the hard times, we've had a pretty crap to the start of the year, and if it wasn't for that love of God in our lives, we'd be really struggling, and I think there's a lot of people who can say the same thing. That devotion, and I get to speak about that today. I talk about devotion, but without religion. I don't know what that is. That's it there. I get to talk about devotion without religion. And it's so true. What the start of this year was for us, if it wasn't for being devoted and tied to the cross, we would have probably turned up our toes and just given it a break for a while. So we're so thankful to God. And I get to talk about the beauty of Jesus again, devotion without religion. And if you look at the life of Jesus, you'll see a man who was completely devoted to the cause, wasn't he? I think it's obvious that he is our absolute focus on someone who lives a life of devotion. Devotion and religion certainly sound the same, and you would think at very least they'd take you along the same path. But looking at it more closely, religion is about doing all you can to reach out to God and try to please God through our actions or works. Religion is about works. It's works-based. Recently, I was talking to our friends. We were going to Bali, and we were talking about Bali, and she said the thing she remembers most about Bali was how beautiful they were with their devotion to their faith. How beautiful it was. She just kept saying, it's just such a beautiful thing. It's just beautiful, the devotion they have towards their faith. And it's true. It's amazing. Everywhere you look, there's a sign of devotion to their God, whether it be a little offering, which is that over there. They put them on the steps everywhere, or the way they dress up their statues, their idols in the major towns. In every major town, they have a roundabout devoted to their God, and it's beautiful, like the artwork in it. It's incredible, this devotion they have towards their God. We were there this year in a time called Nyepi, which is the Day of Silence. It's a public holiday in Indonesia, and it's a day of fasting and meditation, mainly for the Balinese. It's a day where everything shuts down from 6 a.m. till 6 a.m. the next day. There are no cars in the streets, which looks like that, when Bali generally looks like that every day. There are no electronics allowed, so they turn off the Wi-Fi. The airport closes down. There are no flights in and out of the country at all. There are no lights on at night. It was a beautiful thing to be a part of. It's a day and night dedicated to being forgiving and forgiveness to others. It's an incredible thing. It certainly has merit. But at the end of the day, it's a religious festival, something they must do to appease their god, Batara Kala. It is to vanquish negative elements and create balance between God, mankind, and nature. It's not true devotion. It's religion. As lovely and as peaceful as it is, true devotion comes out of love, not out of need. It's a want to, not a have to. That's what devotion is. Devotion comes from the graceful nature of God who first chased us. And I love the thought of that God chased us. We didn't chase him. We didn't have to do anything to find God. He was looking for us. He created us. He knew us from the dawn of time. He knew us before we were created. And he chased us. He wanted a relationship with us. And that's what makes it so completely different from other beliefs. When we understand God's unwavering want for a relationship with us, we will naturally be devoted to him and know that there is nothing we can do to make him want us less, and there's nothing that we've done that makes him want us nothing we can do to make him want us more, and nothing we've done that makes him want us less. He just loves us, and I think that's pretty amazing. I wish I knew this when I became a Christian. Unfortunately, when I got saved, I was told we had to do so many things and change everything about my life to make God happy. If you want to feel God's love, then there are certain ways to behave, there are certain ways to talk, and there are certain people you must leave behind, and there are certain things you must do as a sacrifice to God within the church that will make him happy so your life will be fruitful. Things like go to every service. You have to be there on a Wednesday, a Friday, a Sunday, two services. Maybe you can go mow the pastor's lawn, clean his pool, do his laundry. All these things were service and devotion to God, apparently. But it's not. It's absolutely not. I always walked a tightrope as if my life was on the precipice of falling straight off the straight and narrow and back down the slippery slope of damnation. I tried and I strived, but at the end of the day, I just couldn't change who I was through works, and I failed miserably. I had this lovely Sunday face, and then the rest of the time I'd be out doing the old things, the old ways, hiding it from everybody, keeping secrets, living secret lives, and then come back Sunday, put my Sunday mask back on, and here I was devoted again, going to those meetings, but not being true to myself or even true to God. I thought it was fun, but it just wasn't. I could not devote myself to such control and nastiness. Had they told me that Jesus died for my sins just the way I am, that I didn't need to change right away, it would have made all the difference to my early Christian walk. Had they told me that being committed to following Jesus would change my life, it would have saved me from myself, and it certainly would have saved a lot of my friends from giving up on religion and giving up on church and never coming back. Had they told me about the love of God before they told me about the works I needed to do to impress him. Religion can be quite ugly, what I saw of it anyway. Religion is the enemy of devotion. Religion is about controlling, having powers over others. The Pharisees are examples of this, weren't they? The Pharisees, as we know, were the religious leaders during the time of Christ. They held strict observance of the tradition and written laws. They were also the antagonists and opponents of Jesus. Their name actually means separated ones. They thought themselves better and above the common man. Yet the word of God is so clear about what God thinks about that kind of person. In Matthew 23:1-6, it says, Jesus said to the crowd and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So do and observe what they tell you, but not the works they do. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders. That's the control part, the guilt part of religion. But they themselves are not willing to move with their fingers. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. For they make their phylactery broad and their fringes long, and they love a place of honour at feasts and the best seats in the synagogue. A phylactery was a box they used to put on their head, a reminder that they had to when they were in praying. And we're actually talking about that today. We're talking about Thursday in staff meeting about having tassels to remind you to keep the law. It's not a bad thing to be reminded of what God did for your life and to remember it. But these guys made it long and it was all showy. And it wasn't that long ago that it still happened. The 90s were shocking for this kind of thing. Elders and leaders sat on the stage, front row, were only for the chosen. You had to be a certain standard to be sitting there. Religion at its core is about control. It's about putting God in a box and defining who he is and how one desires him to be. Religion is about being in control. Devotion is about giving up control. Religion is about holding on, but devotion is about freedom. Religion is about being in charge. Devotion is about coming under authority, and that's really important. Being devoted to Jesus is all about courage, courage to lay down our own desires and the courage to come under the authority, his authority, and follow him. We must follow him. Religious comes across as arrogant, always telling people that you have all the answers and if they are not like you, they're doomed. Let's face it, religion breeds weirdos. When I got saved, I used to tell everybody that if they didn't know Jesus, they were going to burn in hell. I'd run around and tell them and accuse them of things and point them at the Bible and say that if you don't lay down your life, you're going to burn in hell. You'll have no blessings in life. There wasn't one person, I don't think, ever got saved from me telling them this. They all thought I was a weirdo. It was all zeal and no substance. Not one of them came to Christ. My parents only came, and I used to say this to my parents and my brothers, and my parents never came to church. They only went for christenings and weddings. The only time my parents came to church was when I left the Wakery Church as pastor to come back to Adelaide, and they came to see me on the last day, and I probably had a little more substance than probably a little less zeal. Religion is ugly when it's in your face and it's abusive. Who's heard of the Westboro Baptist Church? Not one person. Oh, okay, six people. I'm sure a lot more people. This church, I didn't even want to put a picture up of this church. This is a religious, basically it's a cult, and they picket soldiers' funerals and tell them that God hates soldiers. They'll stand on the corner of roads and they'll attack with hate speech the homosexual community and Jewish communities. This is a group that is just full of religious people who have got a point to share and don't care who they hurt doing it. There would not be one person, I wouldn't think, who's come to Christ by these people preaching that hate speech to them because they're convicted by God. They might come out of fear. They might come out of the thought that, well, I'm going to be in trouble if I don't do it. Nobody comes to Christ because they hear of his love, because they never preach Jesus' love. Never. They preach Jesus' hates, and that is unbelievable. There is no doubt all these guys have been fully devoted to their causes, just like the guys who glue themselves to the road to protest climate change, or the guy who hangs from a bridge to disrupt traffic to get his point across. Even the ones who throw food and paint over priceless works of art to get their voice heard. But it really isn't, is it? It doesn't attract you. It's not attractive. It's annoyance. People get sick of it. People don't want to follow that kind of nonsense. It's annoying. It's a bit like vegans who go into steakhouses and start abusing and picketing steakhouses because they only eat what cows eat. And I'd like to apologise to Dave and Anna and Paul. They're nice vegans. But it doesn't, all it makes you want to do is eat steak. So, devotion should be beautiful. Devotion should be selfless. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, says, And he died for all, those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for all their sakes died and raised. Jesus died for us so that we no longer had to live for ourselves. He did it for us. People should be attracted to it. It should never put people off. Even more so when you're devoted to God because you love him and want to draw close to him. When you're devoted to God, people should see it. When you're devoted to God, people will find it attractive. And when you're devoted to God, people will want what you've got. And that's what we're called to do. I want to talk about two people briefly. You've heard of both of them. But these are two of probably the most devoted people I read about, heard about. The first one is St. Francis of Assisi. He had two great quotes. He said, "Do all you can to preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." And he said, "The deeds you do may be the only sermon people will hear today." That's him. St. Francis was born to a very wealthy Italian family. His father was a silk merchant and his mother was from noble birth. As a young man, he lived a lavish life with all the trappings of with money. And by all accounts, he was a handsome, witty, gallant and delighted in fine clothes. And he spent his money like water. Basically, he was a rich yuppie living off his parents' money. His lust for the worldly came to an end when he was selling his father's silks, and a beggar came and asked him for some money. At the end of the day, he ran off and found the beggar and gave him every cent that was in his pocket. It is said that his friends laughed at him and his dad went nuts at him. And I think it's funny, isn't it, when you do something kind opposed to living the life you used to, that people will mock it. My family, my mum and dad, awesome people, I love them. I came out of the world as an absolute yobbo and I became a Christian, and my parents thought there was something wrong with me. What are you doing? Have you joined a cult? You're brainwashed. There's something wrong with you. Here I was trying to change my life to become a better person, and they were like offended by it. What on earth are you doing? It's amazing that when you do something different, people find it very strange and want to mock you. Anyway, a little later, he joined the military and was taken prisoner for a year, during which time he had an illness and caused him to reevaluate everything in his life. When he got back from his second stint in the military, he stopped doing the things he used to do, going to the dances and the feasts and the sports with his former companions. They asked him, "Have you thought of marriage?" To which he replied, "Yes, a fairer bride than any of you have ever seen." And this was meaning his lady poverty. And from then on, he lived with the beggars in the streets. He hid from his angry father in a cave for about a month. He went on to become a restorer of chapels that were in ruins, and then he took to caring for lepers in leper colonies around Assisi. St. Francis gave up everything he had to devote his life as much as he could to be like Jesus. He saw the beauty in God's world and preached the world needs redemption because of sin. He was so kind to everything, including animals, and he never once treated anybody less than himself. He is a truly selfless person who loved God and was devoted fully to him. He gave up everything he had to show the world what Jesus looked like. He lived his life most like Jesus, with nothing in his pocket, sharing the gospel and caring for people. He was 100% devoted, and because of that, people know him all around the world, don't they? My other favourite person is Mother Teresa, and she was born in Albania to a poor family, so the complete opposite. He lost her father when she was just 8 years old. At the age of 12, she was convinced she needed to devote her life to becoming a missionary, and at the age of 18, left for Ireland to learn English and join the Sisters of Laredo, who also had a mission in India, and she never saw her mother and sister again. So at the age of 18, she left and never saw her family again. She became a teacher in a convent in Calcutta, where she served nearly 20 years and was appointed headmistress. Although she enjoyed teaching, she was burdened by the incredible poverty surrounding her in Calcutta. Later, she would remove the traditional habit from the one that you see her wearing now, the blue and white, and get medical training before venturing into the slums to care for the extreme impoverished. She had no income and begged for food to survive. That is devoting your life to a cause. I love this story. It says, this is her words, "Our Lord wants me to be a free nun, covered with poverty of the cross. Today I learned a good lesson. The poverty of the poor must be so hard for them. While looking for a home, I walked and walked till my arms and my legs ached. I thought, how much must they ache in body and soul looking for a home, food and health? Then the comfort of Loretto, her former congregation, came to tempt me. You have only to say the word and all this will be yours again, the tempter kept on saying. She went on, of free choice, my God, and out of love for you, I desire to remain and do whatever be your holy will in regard. I do not let a single tear come." This lady could have gone back to a life that was comfortable for her, but she said, no, it's not what you've called me to do. I'm devoted to you. I'm devoted to this cause, and I will stay doing what I'm doing. The story is amazing. She died being a recipient of 2 Nobel Peace Prizes, and I loved how she described herself. Mother Teresa said, "By blood, I am Albanian. By citizenship, I am Indian. By faith, I am a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world. As to my heart, I belong entirely to the heart of Jesus." Here are 2 very ordinary people who lived extremely extraordinary lives, just by devoting themselves to Christ. These 2 guys lived the Romans 12:1. It says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." When I went to Bible college, it was said that wherever it's written "therefore," you've got to ask what it's there for. And it's all about talking about the previous scriptures. This is Paul writing to us, and you look back in 11:36, the previous chapter, it says, "To this I say, from him and through him and to him all things, to him be the glory and glory forever. Amen." If all things are from God and all things are through God and to God, then obviously our lives completely belong to him. If all things are going to end up in God's glory, then we must give our lives totally for his glory. But when you go back further in the book of Romans, we saw Paul says in 1:18 that we were unrighteous and suppressed the truth, and we knew God once but did not honour him. Basically, we were hopelessly lost in sin. We think ourselves to be wise, but we were foolish. Romans 3:10-12 says, "There is none righteous, not even one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one." These are the preceding chapters of Romans coming up to that one. Everything goes through God. If our condition outside of Christ is that, not being devoted to him, then we need to be in Christ to receive his mercy and devote our lives to him. Religion will never give us the freedom that the cross brings. Rules and law prove not to work, but grace and mercy and devotion that Jesus showed in his life for us will bring complete freedom. Yeah. Devotion to the things of the Father makes us beautiful in the eyes of the world. And when you do that, what is placed on your heart and you make that your life's work, it's noticed by other people. I've lots of non-Christian friends, even my brother's friends. We talk about unique and say it's a great thing that you're doing and unique. You should be proud about that, working with people who are downtrodden and have disabilities. These people don't go to church. They don't understand it, but they know that doing a good thing for someone is important. Yeah. Devotion to Christ. They don't realise that I do it because God put it on my heart. And I devote myself to it because of him. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with me. It's all about him. They don't realise that. They just see the good thing and are attracted to it. The thing with devotion in Christ is this. It makes every part of your life better. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as though for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive your inheritance as your reward. You're serving the Lord. Do everything that you do as if you're doing it for the Lord. Can I have the band come back, please? Or a guitarist, I don't know what we're having today, but whatever's coming. There is no three-point plan to get into heaven. There is no structured religion that will get you to heaven. There are so many religions that ask you to do so much to earn your reward, whether it be the JWs, Mormons, whoever, even Christian churches, who want you to do lots to get your reward. There is no plan to do that. There is this. Accept that Christ died for you and devote yourself to his teaching and love as he first loved you. Give everything you've got in your life to Jesus and your life will be totally changed. If we do everything as we're doing it for the Lord, your marriages will be better. Your workplace will be a better place to go. Your life will be far more peaceful living devoted to God because you want to, not because you have to. Yeah. If you want to, I could have this year, started this year, if it was a religious thing I was following, I would have absolutely given up. I wouldn't have had the strength in me to continue doing works to feel the peace, to feel the love, to feel the joy that I have in my life if I had been part of a religion. But because I'm devoted to Jesus, because I love Jesus and I experience his love because of that, it makes everything better. It makes you be able to get through things you never thought you could. Devotion will change your life, religion won't. The greatest example we can have is Jesus. He had his enemies, he had his detractors, and he was tempted by the devil and he was told he was blasphemous by the religious leaders of the time. But in the end, there was no fault in him and everybody knew he came to serve the Father. And he is the greatest example we can have of someone who's devoted to a cause. He gave up his life for what he believed in. How many of us would truly do that today? If you actually sit and think about it, how many of you would give up your life for what you believe in? Jesus did that for us so we could have life and life abundantly. We don't have to because of Jesus. Today, I believe that there are people here who live under the weight of religion. You're struggling to feel grace because you're trying to work for God's love. It's what you've been taught. It's what you've grown up with. Today, we need to break that bondage over your life. Maybe you've been brought up in a different denomination, or you have come out of Jehovah's or the Mormons, whoever, and your life has been trained like this. Perhaps you were raised in a religious family. Discipline is not a bad thing, but when it takes your focus off of Christ and it takes your focus off the cross and the work that he did for you that costs you nothing but to believe in him, then it's not a good thing. If you need prayer today, if you want to be set free from the things that hold you back, if you want to have a closer relationship with God, if you want to give up on the things that are stopping you because of how you've been raised or what you've been taught, then we need to pray for you today. God can make everything different. See, your Christian walk is meant to be about freedom. It's not meant to be about the works we do. We will never, ever get it right. We can't do it. And that was the whole point of Christ, wasn't it? Christ died on the cross because we couldn't do works. We can do devotion. Let's lay down our lives today and pick up the cross and follow Jesus. Let's have a song and we'll come back and pray.